Thank you for joining us on this podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. The locals would say we are just a little bit east of the intersection of 7th and 106th on 106th. God's blessings to you. We hope to see you on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Peace be with you.
A lot of things happened in that week. Start our scripture reading off with the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem on the first day of the week. And the people were there and they said, "This is surely the Messiah. This is going to be the new David. He's going to overthrow these Romans. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." And they sat there and waved these palms, seeing the entrance of this new Messiah. Throughout John, over and over and over again in John, the idea is conveyed that sometimes the people don't quite understand the whole story. They do things like say, "How can you be born again once you're a full-grown adult?" Without understanding that Jesus was talking about being born again from above. They can ask questions about, "How are you going to give me living water from this well when you don't even have a bucket?" And Jesus would say, "I'm the living water." They would say, "We believe in you, Jesus. You're the man." But don't open that tomb up too quickly, because the guy behind that stone has been dead for 4 days. Here you have a continuation of that idea where the people seem to think they understand, but they don't. They really don't understand. They say, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." And then 5 days later, quick 5 days, they would say, "Give us Barabbas." In other text, it would say, "Crucify him." Wow. Just 5 days. Goes from being the ultimate ruler, the ultimate leader of the Jewish people, to somebody that they would call for his death. The name Barabbas is interesting. When young Jewish boys enter into the covenant, they participate in what's called a bar mitzvah. I think it means son of the covenant, right? Bar mitzvah. And young ladies now do this where they have bat mitzvahs, daughters of the covenant. You see this throughout our language, this kind of concept. If somebody's Clark O'Shaughnessy, it means Clark, son of Shaughnessy. You see the same thing in Scotland, David McCallum. It means David, son of Callum, is what it means. In Iceland, they even make it a little more confusing for us, the fact that if my son's name would be Christopher Dennison, and my daughter would be Denise daughter. Because they take this son and daughter and attach it to your name. So you have trouble following the whole family history. Abba is a word which means father. Which means father. So the man who stands there, the man who is potentially going to get off of his sentence, his name is Yeshua Barabbas. Yeshua is Jesus' first name in Hebrew. Jesus. Jesus Barabbas is his name. Son of the Father. Jesus, son of the Father. And we have, who else is up there to be a candidate to be released? But Jesus, son of the Father. Now, one Jesus has been accused, and he's innocent, and he's going to be executed. And we have the other Jesus that's there. And the choice has been made to have this man who has been found guilty, justifiably so, he's going to be spared and let off. You see the irony in this? What is the crowd doing? The crowd is making some choices. The crowd is saying that we think we understand what God's plan is, and that what we want to vote for, what our preference is, what our desire is the human element. We want to have you spare Jesus, son of a father, as opposed to Jesus, son of the father. Now, the reality is that in this world, in this Judean world, there were a few people who had a last name of Abba. Not many, but a few. But I wonder if you could just suspend that reality, if you know that factoid, if that's out there in your inventory of knowledge, I would like you to sort of take that and put it aside for a moment, because I want to suggest to you that maybe, just maybe, that what John wants us to take from this is the idea that Jesus, Barabbas, is us. We are Jesus, Barabbas. Jesus is going to be executed, and we, every one of us who is guilty, we're going to be spared. And he that is 100% innocent is going to be executed on our behalf. That's an option for us in this story. Now, the downside, is that so often in the book of John, Jesus will do something, will happen, there'll be a conversation about it, and then Jesus will sit there and say, this is how you need to interpret what just happened. Here we don't quite get that interpretation. That interpretation is removed from us. Jesus isn't standing there giving us his sermon on what the crowd has just done. It's up for us to be able to fully comprehend that element of the story and see that he who has been innocent, who is innocent, is indeed convicted and sent to the cross to be executed on our behalf. And he that is guilty and found guilty is instead spared. The writer J.K. Rollins writes, "It is our choices that show what we truly are, far more than our abilities. It is our choices that show what we truly are, far more than our abilities." This week is a chance, this period, this Lenten period leading up to today, is a chance for us to evaluate the choices in our lives. That's the invitation for us. We can make the choices that say that we understand that choice that's made in that portico there, the sounds echoing off of the marble that's there, and there the crowd is saying, give us Barabbas. And what the reality is that they are suggesting to us, John is saying to us, Jesus is saying to us, is for us to be able to understand the choice that is in front of us. We can make the choice to understand the significance of what's going to happen this coming Friday, our celebration of Holy Friday, our reminder of what happens on this cross, and how it is that we are indeed set free by that sacrifice. There's a tendency in the church to want to get to Easter just a little too quick, a little too rapidly. And I would invite you to make the choice to slow it down just a little bit more. We're there. We got to Jerusalem. Our journey is to Jerusalem with Jesus. But the reality is that until we make it all the way to Calvary with Jesus, we're not really quite there yet. Choice for us is to look at the story, appreciate the story, understand what happens in the story, and be prepared to ask ourselves, how much are we like the people of Jerusalem. When it's easy and we think we understand who Jesus is, we're out there waving palms saying, Hosanna! The King of Israel has arrived. And then when he's not quite exactly what we expected, when he's not quite who we expected, when he asks things of us that are a little challenging, a little hard, like maybe going to the cross with him and carrying our own cross. How often are we like those men and women in that portico when Pilate sends out and says, you have a custom here. Who do you want to spare? And they say, spare the everyman. Spare me. Spare us. Pilate, in his conversation with Jesus, has a, are you the king of the Jews conversation? Are you really the king of the Jews? And Jesus gives him an answer, a pretty long answer for considering the circumstances. And then Pilate turns around and says, what is truth? It's a throwaway remark. He's sort of given, it's all relative. Everything about this is relative. One of the major flaws of the second half of the 20th century is we got ourselves into a mindset that everything's relative. What Pilate's saying. Pilate's saying, it's all relative. There is no absolute truth. Jesus is saying there is an absolute truth. Jesus is saying to us, there is an absolute truth. We're going to celebrate an element of that absolute truth next Sunday morning. We're going to come in here and we're going to say, he is risen. He is risen indeed. And we're going to focus on Easter. And that's good, and we should. But at the same time, we should understand that sacrifice that's been made on our behalf. We stand in front of the Holy Father, children of that Father, convicted of the crimes of who knows what. And Jesus says, you are spared. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, let us make the choices that are before us so that we can truly grasp the sacrifice that has been made on our behalf, allowing us to be innocent before you based upon our faith in you. Let us understand the significance of the cross, and let us return to this church next Sunday filled with the hope of the absolute truth that he is risen. He is risen indeed. And all of God's children say, Amen.
Thank you for joining us on this podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. The locals would say we are just a little bit east of the intersection of 7th and 106th on 106th. God's blessings to you. We hope to see you on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Peace be with you.